This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
I'd like to thank the meeting organizers, Chris and Linda and Mike, for the kind invitation and for putting me to work today. I have some research and educational grants paid to the university, nothing personally, although I wish, and completely off-label use of devices, which is the theme of my three talks in this session. So iliac artery involvement, everybody knows, likely accounts for up to 30% of aortic aneurysm cases. Treatment options, I think, have been popularized over the years, include obviously, open repair, doing some sort of hypogastric artery bypass to relocate it, a hybrid extra-anatomic approach to preserve internal iliac flow, and or EVAR with just hypogastric coiling. I think these are all well-established techniques that everybody in the room has experience with. However, hypogastric artery embolization is not without its potential complications. This was a paper from nearly 15 years ago from Manny Maeda, who had actually felt that coiling the hypo was a relatively somewhat innocuous procedure. And this is where I beg to differ, and perhaps we'll spend the next 10 minutes talking about that and why. So I think the sequelae of hypogastric embolization can include thigh and buttock claudication that's actually quite poorly reported in most of the clinical trials. If you actually sit down and carefully ask your patients about it, I'd probably say at this point nearly half of them will say that for some period of time, 6 months to a year, have quite disabling buttock discomfort, particularly those that are younger and younger that we're tend to be putting more and more stent grafts in. And I think that that can be quite disabling from their daily walks. There is an incidence of up to 20 to 50% sexual dysfunction from coiling one of the hypos, particularly when the other side is occluded. Colonic ischemia is obviously uncommon, but is catastrophic when it does happen. And in fact, in large registry series, colonic ischemia probably happens in about 1 to 2% of EVAR and typically is related to lack of hypogastric flow. Buttock necrosis, you know, some of these more fantastic pictures of buttock necrosis and scrotal skin sloughing, you know, again, are extremely rare, but when they happen, catastrophic. And then certainly with the interest in what we heard about in the first session of more and more thoracoabdominal type endovascular approaches, keeping the hypogastric in circulation is probably a good idea long term. So here are some of the endovascular options for hypogastric preservation during EVAR. So obviously you could do a bypass as a hybrid type procedure to relocate the hypo to a lower part of the external iliac. You can do antegrade hypogastric stenting in a fem-fem, which is the so-called banana technique. And this winds up looking like a banana because of the external to internal, typically self-expanding covered stent that curves over and looks like that. And then obviously closing off of flow coming down that side requires a fem-fem with retrograde perfusion up the external to fill that hypo. And then typically a blocker onto that side. Here's another sort of picture of that, again highlighting the need for the fem-fem and retrograde flow. Manufactured branch and fenestrated devices popularized throughout some of the clinical trials that I'll highlight soon. Surgeon-modified bifurcated devices. These are some ways to do it sort of on the back table, although now somewhat poo-pooed unless you have an IDE. The trifurcated graft technique championed by Dave Minion from Kentucky that basically involves using two main bodies and coming from the arm to cannulate down the contralateral gate of the second main body in order to place a covered stent down into the internal iliac. And then the sandwich technique, which was a part of the title of the talk, which we've also called double barrel. You could do that from the arm or from up and over, and that typically involves then placing two parallel stent grafts inside one of the limbs to perfuse the internal and external. We have written about this in terms of trying to calculate the diameters that you need in order to fill the hole, and the formula is the pi d plus nd, n being the number of barrels that you want to put inside of a limb. And this was a paper I worked on with some UCLA colleagues, combining our experience presented at the Western Vascular several years back on doing an up-and-over technique utilizing the advantage of the endologics device that sits on the aortic bifurcation in order to do the double barrels through their short common iliac limbs and then placing bilateral covered stents in a sandwich configuration inside the bottom of the limb. Obviously, there are companies that are actively engaged in clinical trials currently. Both Cook and Gore have their iliac branch devices. Cook's has been used extensively outside the U.S. for nearly a decade. There are some limitations to the device, mainly sort of the anatomic features that I'll get into in a second. We've been fortunate enough to implant five of these in the Cook trial. Currently there were 58 implants in the current sort of PRESERVE 1 trial. PRESERVE 2 included a modification to add the ICAST stent as the bridging stent. And the 40 patients for PRESERVE 2 was completed last week, and we are eagerly awaiting continued access and the final results of that. Gore's trial was IBE 1204, 50 sites, and 60 patients have been enrolled, and now we're in the continued access, and we were fortunate to have implanted five of each of these devices at our institution. This is what the typical bilateral common iliac aneurysm looks like: coiling of one side, the branch device goes into position, and up and over a sheath to get access down through the contralateral gate, and then a hypogastric branch stent graft down into the internal iliac. So the first audience participation: you have a patient with a 6-centimeter aneurysm with a 4-centimeter iliac aneurysm with the other hypogastric occluded. So I'm just curious what the room would do, and it's A through G. Open repair, EVAR with embolization, a banana, which is the external iliac plus femfem, double barrel sandwich, parallel, Brazilian, whatever you want to call that. Trifurcated, which is the two main bodies, click F if you have access to the clinical trial device, which would mean that you're in continued access, or whether you would homemade one. I was just curious what the room would do. I guess the choice here should have been do nothing either. So, okay, let's see. So looks like still popular open repair. Not a lot of people would embolize, and a lot of people would do the banana technique, the external to internal bypass with a fem-fem. Parallel endografting, popular. Trifurcated, popular, and then the handful that would homemade. Good. Okay, so it seems like we're set then in patients with iliac aneurysm should we get these both Gore and Cook's device approved in the near future. And this should probably, hopefully, work for everybody. But like all things, there are issues. And so this is a paper we just published this month in Annals. This is some work I did with the Birmingham guys, and we looked at both institutions, so aneurysm registry, and found 100 patients that had iliac aneurysms concomitant with an abdominal aortic aneurysm. And then we applied the inclusion and exclusion criteria for both trials to see real world how many would have fit into those trials. And it turns out this is the number of exclusions that each patient has. Again, it's 99 patients with common iliac aneurysms. And the minority of them have no exclusions, meaning the minority of them actually would have fit into the IFU for being included into the trials. And in fact, many of them had multiple exclusions. So if you look at the 99 aneurysms, actually only 18 fit into the Cook trial. Of those 18, only 8 would have also fit into the Gore trial. Of the 81 that were excluded from the Cook trial, 17 would have fit into the Gore trial. The other way around, 99 aneurysms, actually 25 fit into the GORE. It's that same 8 that fit into both trials. Of the 74 excluded from the GORE, 10 would have fit into the Cook trial. So to summarize this paper, 18% were eligible for the Cook iliac branch, which only improved to 29% when you added on PRESERVE 2, remember, which was using the ICAS stent. 25%, a quarter, were eligible for the GORE trial, and overall, only a third eligible if you happen to be fortunate enough to have access to both trials. The main reasons, the hypogastric landing zone, excluded nearly a third for the GORE device, excluded two-thirds for the Cook device, slightly improved in PRESERVE 2 because of the use of the ICAS stent. And really, the main reason for the GORE exclusion, common iliac length and diameter. So we still have some work to do in terms of designing the right device for these. So I want to go back to the trifurcated technique, because then what I'll present to you in the last few minutes here is then what I've done with the patients that don't fit into either trial. So the trifurcated technique, as most people have experience with, is a main body up to the aorta, another main body with a bridging piece, typically or classically described as using arm access to come from the arm to get in the contrahypo. A couple of years ago, Mark Farber was visiting, and we kind of came up with a different way to do it, so you could do it all from both groins. And that was the concept of this preloaded wire, which the trial devices have access to. And we had showed this at the Western Vascular as a case report a couple of years back. So this was our patient, a 5.5-centimeter aneurysm, 4.4 right common iliac, 3.2 left common iliac. The hypo on the right was 24, so we elected to cork off that side, and we were going to try to preserve into this 3.2 left common iliac aneurysm. So here's up and over to coil the right hypo. And then now to sort of deliver this, an 18 French sheath goes up the left side that we're going to try to put this bifurcated device in. And then inside of that then comes the smallest C3 device. And that is opened up and withdrawn so that the contragate is deployed above where the origin of the hypogastric is. You puncture the 18 French sheath to get an additional wire that's your preloaded wire and come out the end of the 18 French sheath and into the opening of the contragate and get that up. And then obviously now you have two wires, the one through the main body and the one out the 18 French sheath through the contra device. You snare this preloaded wire so that you've got this through and through wire. And then that way that allows you to drag this 12 French sheath through the device and down into the contra origin, so that now you've got a much more favorable angle and straighter shot to cannulate the internal iliac on that side. Also, some of the advantage of the fact that it's a C3 is that you can close this off, move it around, twist it around, which with suprarenal fixated devices would be a little more challenging. So now that you have got this through and through wire, then it easily allows you to be able to drive a stiffer wire down into place. You can use an ICAS long one that basically, remember, the stent can be angioplasty to a larger size. You place the 9, you take a 14 balloon to mate it into the contragate, and then you have a seal there. And then obviously you finish the rest of it like a trifurcated, a bell bottom piece to extend down into there, and that's what your final picture looks like. We've done about half a dozen of these, and just some sort of tips and tricks. You have to have the right length. The iliac length has this aorta to hypo length has to be 170 to make all the math and the pieces add up. So here are the pitfalls. This is one we tried on a little shorter one, and unfortunately, you'll see in the sequence of pictures the device is up too high, and even with the through and through wire, I was not able to drag a 12 French sheath with this somewhat gothic arch of the aortic bifurcation to do that. So the lessons learned certainly are the key measurements are this aorto hypogastric length. The common iliac probably should be about 50 or 55 to make this work, and the common iliac diameter has to be wide enough to accommodate the fact that you're putting a main body in there. The through and through wire, I think, is key for these. The 12 French antral sheath that Cook makes, I think, is the best sheath to deliver an up and over a stent graft. And then, obviously, you still have the arm access options. So, in conclusion, preservation of the hypogastric, I think, is important for all the reasons that I outlined. I think that iliac branch technology and the clinical trial devices will provide an on-label platform for repair in the future. I think that current clinical trial criteria are strict and lead only to about a third of the patients being able to be treated. And obviously, we need to continue to sort of innovate both device and technique-wise towards improved clinical outcomes. Thanks for your time.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.